tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we are thrilled to be joined for the next 25 minutes or so by Joe Battista. Joe, I have dubbed you the godfather of Penn State hockey. Good morning, sir. It is nice to talk with you.
It's always good to talk to you, my friend, and you know, thank you so much for bringing wrestling to those of us who have moved to the South. And you know, I sit there and listen to you, and it's like I can see things as they're happening, and then, you know, of course, we turn the TV volume down and listen to you.
Well, I will tell you, I appreciate that, and I obviously love doing it. And before we get into some of the other stuff, though, I don't know that there is a better hockey broadcaster in the country than Brian Tripp.
And, boy, awesome.
what he brings to that broadcast for the Penn State hockey team is pretty doggone special in its own right.
And you know what? I'd hate to lose Brian because he does do such a good job with Penn State, but that's a young man that deserves a shot at the next level.
Could not agree more.
He's such a good person too.
He is. No, an amazing talent the whole way around. All right, Joe. I teased a little bit that you're going to be joining us by phone, and you're getting ready for a big event. Before we get into hockey, I didn't want to steal your thunder. I want you to tell us what you're getting ready for, and you know what the hopes are here for the next few days.
Well, this is you know, as you get older, you regress back to childhood, and I've excelled at that. I came down here thinking I'd be playing golf in South Carolina and pickleball and tennis and, you know, going to the beach. And, you know, lo and behold, 2 years ago, a neighbor of mine who's actually an Illinois grad, you know, talked me into playing softball. I didn't even own a glove. And now it's like it dominates my life. And I'm playing on a travel senior 60-year-old softball team, and we won the world tournament down in Tampa last February. And I'm telling you, Jeff, the rings that we got for winning that are twice the size of anything I ever got.
I love it.
It's almost comical, but I will say in seriousness, it's so much fun being back on a team,
yeah,
you know, with the guys. Our best player is actually the former Division I basketball coach, Randy Ray, at Weber State. You know, sent eight or nine guys into the NBA, and, you know, and we just have an absolute ball. And, you know, our wives are with us. We go out to dinners and lunches and stuff and just have a good old time. And, you know, the craziness of this is our regular season games here in Sun City, they're on YouTube. Yeah, it's like, I can go back and watch my game. And I described to my friends one time, I made this game-winning diving play at second base, knocked the ball down, threw the guy up from my knees, and I went back to watch it, and I said, ooh, I don't know that I dove. It looks more like I tripped and fell.
unfortunately,
we're having a blast. And, you know, we're going up to Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow to play in the Southeastern Regional. So this is like a reset. We have to qualify to get to next February's World Tournament. So that's where I'll be tomorrow and Saturday, unless I, you know, if we make it to the championship game, there might be a part of me that wants to jump in the car and head on out to St. Louis.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. That is quite the dilemma you have for yourself there. That's pretty neat stuff. What position are you playing, Joe?
Left out. No, just kidding. I play third base. And, you know, when they first asked me to play on the travel team, I said, yeah, not from a guy got hurt. And, you know, they didn't bother to tell me that we used unrestricted flight balls and high-tech bats in these senior tournaments. I get to the field, and I'm looking at all the other third basemen from the Minnesota Lumberjacks and the Texas Tornadoes and the Beltway Bandits. And these guys are wearing masks and shin guards and padded shirts, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? And at the end of the first game, I had four ice bags on me,
man,
from all the places. Because you get hit rockets at you. And then I went over to our manager, and I said, you know, now I know why you picked me for the team, because I'm expendable.
Oh, that's terrific. Joe, let's talk about I mean, I remember from the first time I met you, the vision here for Division I hockey and some of the things that could occur. What is this like for you to see this program be playing in the Frozen Four here this weekend?
You know, Jeff, I couldn't be happier or more proud for Guy and the staff, and especially the players. I mean, I don't think the players will ever understand, you know, and maybe it'll take years for them to understand how much joy this has brought to so many of us that over the years have, you know, wanted to see this come to fruition. And, you know, I think that I wasn't really ready. I didn't know how I was going to react. My wife and I, we just gotten back from a vacation. We went to see Chip and Joanna Gaines's Magnolia Farms in Waco, Texas. And,
wow,
you know, which actually was a terrific trip. And, you know, so it was just me and her watching the game at home. And when that overtime goal was scored, oh my gosh, I leaped off the couch. So did my wife. We hugged each other. We're jumping up and down. I started crying. You know, it was like all that pent up emotion from 50 years of this dream, you know, it just like all came out in one moment. And I just, all I kept thinking about was, you know, the people over the years, because I'm kind of an unofficial historian of hockey at Penn State. And, you know, the first game was 1909, and then it went away in 1939, you know, became a varsity team, and then it went away. And then in 1971, you know, a freshman, Roy Scott, you know, and some of his buddies from there were hockey people. One of them, I got 3,000 signatures from students because there was an ice rink in the old Greenberg complex, but they didn't have boards up. It was just for, like, you know, skating and, you know, phys ed classes. And, you know, well, the next thing you know, Dean Scannell, you know, he said, all right, you know, they put the boards up in hockey in 1971-72. Dr. Larry Hendry became the coach. Buddies of mine, Bill Charles and Reds Davidson and all these people. And I think of them, and I think that, wow, and I'm still in touch with those guys. I text every day with Roy Scott and Larry Hendry and Bill Charles, and we are just like little kids, giddy with enthusiasm and pride and joy. And then, you know, there's the guys I played with, and there's the guys that, you know, I coached. And I go back, and I've said to every one of them, you were a part of this. You played a role in this. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's funny. There's an article, Jeff, in today's Post-Gazette, and I got a little umbrage with the writer because he's describing that 15 years ago, you know, there was no hockey at Penn State and, you know, this. And I'm like, oh, dude, you definitely didn't do your research. You know, and it's like, you know, because I think it's ironic that, you know, they beat UConn. We played UConn in 1999. That it was their first year of Division I, but they'd scheduled us as an exhibition game, figuring, okay, you know, we got this name school, Penn State, coming in. We'll have a good crowd. We beat them 6-1. You know, that was in 1999. C.J. Patrick, Craig Patrick of the, you know, GM of the Penguins,
yep,
you know, assistant coach of the 80 Olympics team, his son, he absolutely drilled this guy on, like, the second shift of the game. The guy's face mask was bent, and that was it. Like, we scored four goals. Alon Eisenman had a hat trick. You know, we just, and so I say to people all the time, you know, yes, we did have hockey, and we were the best varsity team that wasn't.
Yeah.
And my final year there in 2005-06, we went to Pittsburgh. We played Robert Morse's Division I team, and we beat them 3-2 in their building. So when I hear people say there was no hockey, I get a little bit, you know, my dander gets up. But other than that, you know, when it's all said and done, we know none of this happens today without Terry and Kim Pegula's incredible gift.
Yeah, and I, Joe, I want to talk about that because, you know, obviously with wrestling, Ira Lubert is the guy behind the scenes that has made a lot of things happen for that program. And certainly Terry Pegula, Joe, you know, let's just start. Greenberg became a really great venue, and the energy in that place was phenomenal. It really was.
Yes.
But, Joe, what is happening now with that roar zone at Pegula, and we saw it kind of transfer over into Allentown for the regionals. I mean, this is next-level stuff, and it really, again, to me, it started with your vision, and then but Terry Pegula being willing to step up the way he did and provide that facility for this program obviously has a ton to do, everything to do with what we're seeing that's going to occur here tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because the first discussion that he and I ever had about this, he literally said, we were sitting in Kelly's having a steak dinner, and he said, why aren't we playing the Minnesotas, Michigans, and ready for this, Boston Universities of the world?
Oh, I love it.
And you know, of course, I said, we don't have the facility, we don't have scholarships, you know, we don't have the budget, you know, there's Title IX issues, you know, and he said, well, what's it going to take? And I said, this was 2005, and I kind of said, okay, well, this is going to end the conversation. I said, $50 million, and he leans back, kind of scratches his chin and says, I can help you with that. You know, okay. So, you know, I got together with Rod Kirsch from Alumni Development, Tim Curley, you know, eventually with President Spanier. And people forget, you know, that first conversation was 2005. The gift didn't happen until, you know, 2010.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different God incidents, and because after we had toured a couple of arenas with Terry and with Dr. Spanier and, you know, the bunch of people from OPP, and we, he said, when we saw Mariucci Arena in Minnesota, he said, that's it, I'm ready to do this, I don't need to see any more arenas. But a couple of us still went to Agganis Arena, which is Boston University's home arena, and we got a tour of their arena by none other than Mike Arruzzioni, the captain of the 1980 Olympic team, who was an associate AD there. He gives us the tour, and as we end the tour, I shake his hand. I said, Mike, I can't thank you enough. We're hoping for our own miracle on ice, because we hope to hear from Terry Pegula any day now. I start walking Marv Bevin from OPP and I, and we go walking across Commonwealth Avenue at the BU campus, and halfway across, I get a text from Terry that says, just signed agreement, great day for hockey in Happy Valley, and I just start bawling. And, you know, it was like I'm standing in the middle of where the train, I think it's called the MT or whatever, and, you know, it was like Boston Mass Transit or whatever, and Mark Bevin said, Joe, that's great, but if you don't move, we're going to get run over. So we went and had lunch, and that was August the 25th. When Terry did that, and then the public announcement came on September 17th, and I've been smiling ear to ear ever since.
Joe, a couple of things I want to touch on. Just start with Guy Gadowski and what what he has done and what he has meant to this program. I'm not sure they could have come up with a better fit for what you would want in a hockey program in terms of the toughness, but also, you know, the community outreach, that the whole bit. It just seems like Guy from day one was the right fit, and obviously I know he is taking a lot of pride in what this team and these kids have been able to accomplish on behalf of everybody we're talking about and a whole host of others.
Well, and you know, Guy does that. He deflects the credit to others around him. You know, we interviewed some high-profile coaches, and, you know, when it was Guy's turn, when we had him on campus, you know, we ended up, talking about what it was going to take to run this type of a program. And, you know, we needed a guy. You know, there were the other people that we interviewed. We'd have won the press conference, right? But Guy was the perfect fit because he understood what these other guys didn't. And that was, you were going to need to build this, but you're going to take your lumps. Those first couple years, you were going to get beat up,
yeah,
especially in the Big Ten, right? And he needed to understand that, you know, what was going to happen was, you know, you couldn't give out all 18 scholarships that first year, right?
Right.
And so when I was done interviewing him at Penn State, I called Terry up and I said, Terry, you have got to meet Guy. All right, he's going to blow you away. Well, it just happened that the Sabres were playing the Flyers in Philadelphia, and Terry said, well, you know, I got tickets for the game. Why don't you guys drive down here? I'll meet him down there. So we did. We drove separately because Guy had driven up from Princeton, and we get there. Guy goes to the front of the suite, and he sits with Terry and Kim. I'm standing in the back, you know, pacing, you know, anxiously. And about a half hour into that conversation, Kim walks up, says, Guy's our guy. And I was like, wow, this is great. And you know, he had built programs in Alaska Fairbanks, which nobody wanted to go to that job, and he took them to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
He goes to Princeton. He takes them to within just a few seconds of making it to the Frozen Four back in the early 2000s. And all I thought was, if this guy can recruit that kind of talent, academic and athletic talent at Princeton, well, he's certainly going to be good for Penn State. And it was his passion, his energy. You know, I still get a kick out of the fact that, you know, certain times he takes that tooth out. He's got that old hockey grit, you know. But he's just, again, it's got a lot to do with his coaching. It's got way more to do with his demeanor, his passion. He's a first-class guy, and as I said, he always deflects credit to other people, and that's kind of the Penn State way.
Again, we're talking with Joe Bautista, ahead of the Penn State hockey team's Frozen Four appearance against Boston University tonight. 8:30 will be the start time, and again, we'll have the game for you live here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox tonight. Joe, talk to me a little bit about, I guess, Guy's role, but also this team being able to pull together after the fall semester that it had, the 0-8-1 start in Big Ten play, because I do think that adds to the level of appreciation here for this moment, that it comes in a season that started the way this one did and now is going to end potentially with a national title at the very least, with the first ever Frozen Four appearance. But I think that is a testament, again, to this team for sure, but also to Guy Gadowski. And, you know, I'm not sure there's a lot of coaches or many teams that could put together what this team did after the start that it had going into January.
It's remarkable. I don't care, you know, what sport, you know, what level, to turn things around the way they did. And I still remember I got to go to a couple games, you know, went right when they started to turn things around. And then we were there for alumni weekend in January. And you could just see it in the players, right? You know, Penn State, I think right now we have like maybe two guys that are NHL draft picks. Boston University is like 10 or 11, all right? And, you know, people would say, oh, well, talent on talent, you know, BU's going to, you know, and Michigan State and Ohio State and Minnesota and all these Big Ten teams that Notre Dame, that Penn State had to beat in that second semester. But these, it's just a great story. You watch how these guys came alive. You know, they certainly have, gotten behind their goalie, Sergeyev. I mean, you know, that's an amazing story in and of itself, you know, because he transferred from UConn to Penn State. But you could just see everything turn around. And then, you know, because Mike Messner, who played for me at Penn State, played on our first club national championship that I coached, he's the video guy, and he does the hockey story and stuff. So you get to see those clips of what it looks like in the locker room. And these guys, this is synergy at its best. You know, they, as collective, as a group, they have found a way. And that's, you know, again, guy doesn't like taking credit, but him, his staff, you know, everybody, that room, they believe. They just believe. And as a coach, you always said there's two things you give me at the beginning of any season. I want leadership and team chemistry, and great things can happen. And, you know, I'm looking at that. And then, Jeff, a point of pride for me is the number of Western Pennsylvania kids that are on the team.
Yeah.
My first job out of Penn State was working for the Pittsburgh Penguins as amateur hockey director. And Jeff Martha, who played for me at Penn State, his father and I and one other gentleman founded the Amateur Penguin Youth Hockey Association travel team. Well, that, over the years, morphed into the Pens Elite. And when Matt DiMarcico scores the game-winning goal, I'm sitting there going, this is amazing, because he played for the Pens Elite, which, you know, a bunch of us had a hand in starting. I coached the old Junior Penguins team, and it just brought so much happiness and joy. And, again, the number of texts and phone calls and emails that I've gotten, from people all across, it's just amazing. And again, it's like, hey, wait, I got nothing to do with this. These kids, you know, it's great that we built the building and got the program started. Don't forget, this doesn't happen without those kids and what they've done. And that needs to be the story that, you know, because, again, I don't want them to think about a legacy. I want them to stay focused, you know, keep winning. This story isn't over yet.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Leadership and chemistry and some top-notch goaltending doesn't hurt either. I tell you, and I know, guys talked about what a great locker room player he is, and how well he is fit in, and the guys love him. But man, Joe, he is also some of those goals in that third period in overtime against UConn, I mean, that was next level stuff.
Well, a behind the back, no look pass.
That's pretty good too.
As the old saying goes, you know, top shelf where mama keeps the good cookies. Everybody asks, I said, you know, there's a euphoric feeling, you know, and it's not one of excessive pride. It really, the way I describe it is joy. It's just pure joy to see these kids. And, you know, I'm involved with a fellowship of Christian athletes down here. And I will tell you that when I was there for Alumni Weekend, and after the game, I saw eight of the Penn State players, led by Sergeyev, the goalie, at center ice, kneeling down, praying at center ice. That just, like, to me, it was like, this is magical stuff, you know, because I'm blessed. I get to work with all these high school and local college kids in a bunch of different sports. So it feels like I'm back to coaching again, and it's all about life skills and helping these people have kind of a moral compass. And, I just this morning led a Bible study for the May River High School coaches, and, you know, there's not a hockey coach in the room. It's wrestling, it's golf, it's football, it's basketball, it's soccer. We even have the leader of the band. You know, so for me, that seeing that and feeling so connected to it in that regard, that meant a lot to me too. And just again, it comes back to the way Guy runs the program. They show class. They get out in the community, like you said. This is just such a feel good story, and I just hope and pray that, you know, things go our way. But if they don't, you know what? It's great. I sent God. God grant us health, our share of the bounces.
It feels like just like that, here's Ovechkin. How remarkable is that accomplishment?
Well, I'm with you, Jeff. I never thought that was one of those records, you know, kind of never going to be broken. And I give Ovechkin so much credit because when the game before, they were winning by a goal, and, you know, I can't remember who they played, but they could have pulled the other team pulled the goalie, and they could have put him out in the final minute, and his record-breaking goal could have been an empty net goal. And he refused. He said, "Nope, coach, I don't want to go on the ice.
Yeah.
I don't want that record to be broken with an empty net goal." And then, of course, the goal he scores to break the record is just prototypical Ovechkin. And, you know, I didn't like him very much when he first, you know, because I'm a Penguins guy, right? And
right there with you.
You see the respect that Sidney Crosby and he, those battles between the Penguins and the Capitals, you know, in the 2000s, you know, those were special times. And I feel good about him. I think he's been a good representative of the NHL and his family, and, you know, and the ceremony that they did was terrific. And you know, it was all classy. I think it was like when Marc-Andre Fleury, the Flower, played his final game in the, you know, against Washington, Ovechkin made his whole team come back out on the ice and applaud and shake hands with Marc-Andre Fleury. That's leadership right there.
No doubt about it. Joe, really, really appreciate the time. Are you watching the game, I guess, at a hotel or at a restaurant on the way up or what?
No, again, another God incident. One of my best friends, former Penn State hockey teammates, Glenda Stefano, his wife Donna, they have a house here. They have their furniture hasn't arrived yet. So they're staying with us, and we're going to watch. I'm going to get to watch the game with one of my best hockey buddies in the world. And I can't be there. I wish I could be. But you know what? I'm gonna just live vicariously through my former teammates that I know are going to the game. And you know what? It's gonna be amazing. And I hope that the guys bring your A game, and then whatever happens, happens. But play your best hockey, and we'll see how they do.
Yep, let's let it fly and have some fun. Joe, I cannot thank you enough for the time. Appreciate it, and good luck in the softball games.
All right, Jeff, it's always a pleasure, my friend.